Right, morning everyone. I'm going to be talking today. And I've just been, when I was kind of thinking about what to say, praying about what to say, the Lord really laid this topic on my heart. And, you know, it's a simple topic, but it's a very powerful one. And when we grasp this topic, that's why I've called it a power encounter. When we grasp this topic, God's grace is really, really comes in and flows in our lives. And I'm basically, all I'm going to be chatting about, if those of you don't know me, I'm a teacher, I'm a primary school teacher, grade fives. And, you know, I love those kids. Those kids have a way of going into your heart, getting into your heart, and really staying there. So, you know, my job as a teacher, obviously, is to teach them. But, you know, over the years that I've been teaching them, they have taught me so much about God's kingdom. You know, they've taught me how I need to react to God, which I'm going to be mainly talking about today. And they also have taught me how God reacts to me, you know, how He treats me sometimes, you know, with discipline, with boundaries, with those type of things. And, you know, I just love those things that children teach me. And you know, I've got such a passion for them, and I really enjoy them, and I really enjoy teaching. And I mean, I think if you're around me long enough, I'll probably start talking about them as well. So just kind of to give you a little bit of a perspective of who and what I'm talking about, I actually took a video of them this week. And so here we go. And as you can see, they are quite energetic. But, you know, those are the kids. They're amazing. Children are amazing, and I'm sure those of you who have children or are going to have children who have dealt with children as well will agree with me. You know, children can teach us so much. You know, children are simple. Children are not complicated. And there's so many truths that we can learn from children. I'm not going to go through all of them, because there's lots of things that I've learned from them. You know, I don't know if you've seen their sense of awe of the world. You know, everything is a big deal to them. You know, they don't do anything half measures, and you know, they're amazing. They're honest. Okay, I've been told now, I'm obviously growing this moustache for Movember, and they love to tell me exactly what they think about it. You know, I've been called ugly, and that thing is hideous, and whatever. And, you know, for me, I don't get hurt or angry or whatever at that, because I know they're not trying to be mean, they're just being honest, you know. Life is so simple to them, you know. There's no kind of in-between. There's black and white for them. And that's amazing, you know. God appreciates, God loves children. And He actually tells us that we need to look at them and to learn from them. Because children have a grasp of the kingdom that a lot of adults don't have. And we need to look at that and to learn those truths. Okay, so I'm just gonna obviously focus on a few of them. The first verse that I want to read is Matthew 18, verse 1 to 4. Okay, this is what it's all based on. It says there, at the time the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Okay, I'm just going to repeat something here. "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Okay, that's quite a statement there. All right. Mark 10, verse 14 and 15. This is a different time when the disciples... Some people brought some children to Jesus so that Jesus could bless them, and the disciples trying to shoo them away. And this is what Jesus said. "And when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, 'Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it.'" Okay, so he's saying the same thing. And when you really look at that, his implication is quite hectic there. Okay? He's saying if you don't grasp the kingdom like a child, you will not enter it. Okay. And therefore, that's why I'm so grateful for children, because I can see every day how to grasp the kingdom as a child. And so, that is a really hectic statement to say. You know, and sometimes us as adults who are a little bit older, you know, we lose this aspect of our faith. You know, sometimes when we've just come to the Lord, we grasp it a little bit. You know, we're very enthusiastic. Everything's new. Everything's exciting. But then slowly as we go, it becomes less and less and less. You know, we start becoming more mature, we call it. You know, and certain things we stop practicing. So I'm going to just concentrate or just talk about a few aspects, important aspects that I feel that children can show us and have grasped that we can take, we can learn and apply that to the kingdom. All right. Now the first thing, before I go on to that, I just want to obviously give some perspective here. Okay. There's a difference between childlikeness and immaturity. Okay. God has not called us to be immature. He's called us to be childlike. All right, and there's a difference, and there's a balance between the two. Okay, and I'm just going to read you two scriptures. Ephesians 4, verse 13 to 14. It says here, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. What he's talking about here is he's talking about all the different positions in the church, you know, apostles, prophets, teachers, all those things. He's talking about how all of those are used together for us to grow. Okay, so it says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Okay. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 20 also says, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, be in malice, be babes, but in understanding, be mature. Okay. So God is calling us to kind of balance this out. Okay. So what he's saying is, in your understanding, all right, in your understanding of the scriptures, in your character, he's calling us to be mature. Okay, so we're not called to be childlike in those areas of our lives. All right, so God says that we need to understand the scriptures. There's another part where Paul says that he desires to give us solid food, all right, or that certain church. But at the moment he can't because they're immature. He has to feed them milk in a sense, okay, because they don't have a proper understanding of the scriptures. They haven't grasped the scriptures, okay. Another part talks about how we need to, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, or sorry, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, where that grows in our life. Okay, and that really talks about our character as well. All right, so God is calling us to be mature in our understanding of the scriptures. All right, we need to know what's in the Word, and we need to obviously apply it in the Word. All right, what He is calling us to be childlike is obviously in our hearts. Okay, how we receive God's kingdom, how we receive what He says to us. Right, and that's a very important balance, okay, to have. Okay, so what does childlike faith look like? All right, what are those certain aspects that we need to look in children and see and to learn from that? All right, now the first one is almost one of the most important ones. Okay, now one thing that children get very, very well, they understand very well is they take whatever you say is truth, all right? They take it as the truth, and then they run with that, all right? And they run with it hard, okay? Now, I've had lots of instances as I'm teaching, where parents have come to me very frustrated, and they've said, we're trying to tell our children this thing, but the child is saying, no, but Mr. Gray said it's this, and so this is how we're doing it. And they're like, please just go and tell them that that's not what you're saying, you know? And lots of times we've had that, where parents have come and they've actually said, listen, I can't speak in it. They just took what you said and they are, that's the truth, you know. Or please speak to them. I often get this as well. The parent will come to me and say, I'm trying to tell them this thing, okay. They won't listen to me. please can you tell them, because everything you seem to say, they listen to. Okay? And that's an amazing thing about a child. All right? A child takes what you say, and he or she runs with it hard. Okay? They take it as the truth. They don't doubt it. They don't question it. They don't try and take it apart or try and understand it better or whatever. They take it and they go hard with it. You know, and God is calling us to do that as Christians. Okay. Proverbs 3 verse 5 and 6 says here, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your path." Okay, so here is saying, God is saying, trust in me. Right? We know that. Everyone says, you know, we hear it all the time, trust in God, trust in God. But sometimes we don't apply it in our lives. And the question is, what must we trust? You know, what is the biggest thing we need to trust? Well, it's obviously God's word, what He says. Okay, this is His word to us, and this is He's given that to us for a reason. Okay, and too many Christians these days, and I find myself doing that as well, is taking bits and pieces that I like out the Bible. Okay, so we kind of pick and choose as Christians, right? We take the nice stuff, right? We like putting scriptures on our walls that say, with God, nothing is impossible, and all that stuff. That's great, and that's obviously true, you know? But often those things that are a little bit harder to take, we kind of just push to the side and go, well, you know, I won't really think about that one. You know, God is calling us as Christians to take the whole gospel, everything that's said in this word, and to run with it as the truth. You know, God has not given us a Bible just so that we can feel nice and have a whole lot of nice sayings. He's given to us this to us because it's the truth. Right? And if you want to know how to live this life, read the Bible. Okay, read the Word. There's obviously lots of wisdom in the Word. Now, if you say you trust the Word, you obey the Word and whatever, the reaction or the outflow of a trust will obviously be an action or a obedience to what is being said. Okay, so if you want to know whether you fully trust the Word, look at how obedient you are to the Scriptures. Okay, look at how when something goes wrong or something in your life starts happening that you don't really expect or you didn't plan it out like that, what happens then? Do you go back to the Word and do you follow what it says? Or do we go and we start trusting in things that other people say? Or trusting in our past experiences or whatever it is? You know, and this is really, really an important aspect that children have got very well. Okay, they take everything that you say as the truth and they run hard with it. All right. Now, the other day I was, and I actually bought this book. It's called Derek Prince, The Promise of Provision. She bought it a fair amount of time back. Right, but I looked at it and I read what it said and I thought, ugh, it's another kind of 10 steps on how a Christian can be rich and stuff like that. So I didn't really read it, and then one day I was kind of bored, and so I picked it up and started reading. And this is an amazing book. If you can read this book, this is incredible. And this Derek Prince talks about this aspect. Okay, and he specifically focuses on Deuteronomy 28. Okay, and I want you guys, we're not going to read the whole thing today because it's quite a long scripture, but it basically talks about God is talking to the Israelites, and He's given them all the law, okay, up to them. And that Deuteronomy 28 talks about the blessings and the cursings of obedience. All right. And when you go and look and you go and read it again, and you read it very carefully, you study it, that one verse or scripture or chapter or whatever has so much truth in it. You know, he was talking about, I'm going to quote here, he says, "Obedience to God brings blessings, abundance in every area of our lives. Disobedience to God brings curses, poverty in every area of our lives." Now, he's not just obviously talking about money. Okay. Abundance talks about every aspect of your life. Okay. If you were to look at your life, if I had to look at my life, could I say that my life is characterized by abundance? Okay. And I challenge you, go and read Deuteronomy 28 again Go and see the promises that He gives to us for being obedient to God's Word. I'm just going to start with the first little bit of it. It says here, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth." Okay, and it goes on and it mentions a whole lot of blessings. And then it goes, after that, it mentions a whole lot of curses if we are not obedient, if we don't trust and we take God's word and obey it. All right. Now, yes, this scripture or this part is specifically mentioned to Israel and to all the Old Testament laws and that type of thing. But this applies to our lives as well. Okay, if we had to look at our lives, can we say that our lives at the moment are a blessing? Or does it feel like a curse? Does it feel like everything is frustrated, everything is hard? You know, there are hard times, but God is calling us, and God has promised abundance in every area of our lives. Okay, there's parts here where it says that you will be the head and not the tail. Okay, other things is your enemy will come in one way and you'll flee seven ways. All right, and often us as Christians, we love to quote those scriptures, you know, when we're praying for someone. But God says that will happen if you obey my commandments. You know, and the opposite is true if we don't obey those commandments. You know, those things, it says that you will go in one way and you'll flee seven ways if you go against someone. And you will be the tail and you will not be the head. All right, and God is very clear on us that we need to take His word as the truth and we need to apply it in every single area of our lives. Okay, we can't just apply it to one area and kind of the other areas we go, well, that's my area, I don't want to. God, you can't touch this area. You know, I'll follow you and I'll obey your commandments in this area, but not in this area. Okay. So that is a very important truth that we need to learn. Okay. We fall under a curse. God says we fall under a curse if we don't follow His word. All right. That's His words. That's what He says. All right. If we desire to walk in the abundance God desires for us, we need to understand the essential requirements of obedience. Okay, if you want to know what to be obedient to, obviously read the word. Okay, it's the first step. All right. Okay, so that's the first thing. The second thing is that a child understands... I forgot one scripture. James 1 verse 22 to 35. Okay, this is talking about the previous one. It says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Okay, there it is. Okay, that's in the New Testament as well. Okay, for those of you who don't believe me. So that is very clear. All right, if we do what God says, all right, we take it as truth, we trust it, and then we act on it. God says this one will be blessed in what he does. Okay, he will put a blessing on everything that you do. All right, and that goes for kind of spiritual stuff and non-spiritual. You know, God has got a blessing in our works. You know, one of the things in Deuteronomy 28 is He says that everything that we put our hands to, He will bless. Okay, if we are obedient to His word. All right. Right, next one. A child, another aspect that a child understands is they live life to the absolute max. Okay, there are no half measures with a child. All right. And this aspect has been a reason why I often come home very tired from a day. Because children like to live life full out. Okay, they don't live life 50% or do anything 50%. They do it full out or they don't do it at all. And we every year we go on a camp with the kids, and often they'll come to me and they'll say, "Oh, sir, we're going to be tonight. We're going to stay up the whole night. Because we normally kind of walk in their dorms and make sure everyone's sleeping, and then we go out." They say, "No, sir, we're just going to lie down. We're going to wait for you to go, and then we're going to get up, and we're going to be awake the whole night. We're going to just eat sweets and everything." So then I go, "Okay, fine, all right, really." And obviously, during the day, they're doing activities and whatever. And you know, by that, by 8, 9 o'clock, they are knackered. They are absolutely finished. You know, and all I have to do is walk around there 5 minutes and the whole dorm is asleep. You know, and that's really a beautiful picture of how we need to act out our Christian lives. We need to live life to the full. You know, live what God has told us to do to the full. All right. Matthew 22, verse 37 to 38. Someone asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Okay, so God is calling us to live out, to live what He says, and to follow Him with everything that we've got. Okay, not 90% or 95%, everything. Okay, and you know, that's a part that sometimes we don't really do as Christians. You know, we'll give God kind of maybe 80% of our lives, but this part we won't trust and we won't live full out. You know? Or a classic one is, you know, when you start working, those of you who are working will know this. But as soon as you start working, everyone says, well, you know, one day we've got to be now starting to plan for retirement, because if you start now to plan for retirement, then when you retire, then you'll be fine. You know? So our focus is always like way ahead, you know, and we end up, and it's good to be wise with our money, okay, but often we do this out of fear. Okay, what's going to happen when I retire one day in 40 years' time or whatever? And we don't live now to the fullest. Okay, we're so worried about what's coming in the future, what's happening in the future. You know, and a child doesn't do that. A child doesn't know tomorrow. Okay, they don't know to conserve their energy now because they've got something to do later. Okay, tomorrow. They will do everything full out. You know, that's why we often, if you know, I take sport as well, rugby, and we never practice the day before a game. Because those kids, when they play their hearts out. Okay? They're not worried about tomorrow's game. They want to win now. All right, even if it's a practice, they do everything full out. You know, and that's a beautiful picture, because God is calling us to live out our lives now fully. You know, God says that you seek the kingdom first. You do everything that I tell you, and all that stuff, all that provision, all that stuff, I'll take care of. You know, don't worry about that stuff. Just live what I've told you now and do it 100%. You know? Do what God has told you. Don't do it halfway or 50% or whatever it is. Do it full out. Okay. I found this this little quote here, ironically also from Facebook. But it says here, there's more to life than planning for old age. Are you living the abundant life now? Will your current priorities echo into eternity? Put things into perspective and focus on those things that will last. Let it manifest through what you do now. Okay, so as we said as well, there's obviously a place to be wise, okay, and to plan in a sense. You know, the Bible also says that a wise man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Okay, but if we are too focused on the future and too worried about what is going to happen then, and you know, then we lose all perspective of today, of what God has called us to do now. You know, and God's promises, you focus on that stuff, I'll take care of all the other stuff. Okay. Proverbs 10 verse 3 says, the Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but He casts away the desires of the wicked. Okay. So God says, if you follow what I say now, if you do what I do, if say now, then I won't allow you to fall or to famish or whatever. He will look after you. He will keep you afloat. Okay. So my question to you is, are you living now abundantly? Okay. Is that a characteristic of your life? Okay. The next thing that I've learned from a child is forgiveness. Okay. Again, a child has got this aspect down to the T. You know, there's been many times when I have wrongly shouted at a kid or accused them of doing something, and maybe got cross with them for no reason or for something they didn't do. And later I'll have to go and apologize. And it's always the funniest thing to me when I go and apologize to a child for something I did wrong to them. They always act as if it never happened. Okay, they come to me and I'll come to them and I'll say, you know, sorry I did this and this. And they'll go, oh, so it doesn't matter. You know, they've forgotten about it long ago. You know, they don't hold grudges. They don't keep something locked up inside and fume and fester and allow it to take control of them. You know, if something goes wrong, they forgive, they forget, and they move on. Okay, and us as adults and older and Christians as we get older, we often lose this aspect as well. Okay, we very easily hold grudges against people. You know, if someone's hurt us, then we very often hold that hurt within us. You know, we don't want to let it go. And that actually almost displays a lack of trust in God, that God can deal with that situation. Okay. And Jesus is very, very clear about this aspect. Okay. And what he says in his word is quite hectic. All right. I'm going to read Matthew 6, verse 14 to 15. It says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Okay, now that is a scary verse. Okay, God is saying there that if you do not forgive other people of their wrongdoings against you, God will not forgive you. Okay, and that is a hectic thing to say. All right. Again, he says there's another example in Matthew 18, verse 34 to 35. Now, the parable here behind this is where there's a master who brings a slave in who owes a massive debt against him. And this slave cannot pay the debt back. You know, so the master has compassion on the slave, and he cancels all his debts. But then this slave goes and he finds someone who's also under him and who's got a lesser debt to him, and he throws that person in prison, has no mercy for that man. And then the master is obviously angry with him. Okay. It says here, and his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Okay, so God is calling us to forgive from the heart. Okay, not just in our head, but from the heart. Okay, now this is sometimes it can be a hard thing to do. You know, but God has really given us grace to be able to do this. You know, he's really calling us to release people of their debts. You know, release people from things that they do against us. You know, don't hold grudges against people. Okay. Unforgiveness is a poison that slowly hardens our heart until we are not able to feel or receive love. Okay, if we hold unforgiveness, it slowly but surely hardens our hearts. Okay, slowly but surely, we're not able to feel God's love even. Okay, we become bitter. All right, and a lot of people become so offended so easily. And we know that a lot of people will leave church because of offense. Right? Someone will do something to them and they will leave the church because they cannot actually, they can't release that offense from a person or someone's done against them. But God is really clear about this, that we need to forgive people their debts and to release them. And God says that He will deal with it if we forgive. Okay, He will deal with whatever people have done to us. Okay. Right, everyone with me so far? Okay, next thing that I have learnt from a child is that they hold authority in a very high regard. Okay, they see authority as a big thing. All right, and the other day there was a kid in my class who obviously did something wrong, and the headmaster called him in, and this was a massive thing for this guy. You know, the headmaster of a primary school is, you know, they don't want to be around them. Okay, they're really, really, really scared of the headmaster. Okay, and they they obviously listen to what the headmaster says, and they're really receptive to that. And this boy got reprimanded by this headmaster, and he came back absolutely distraught. You know, he was crying, and he came up to me and he said, "Sir, I think I'm going to die," he says to me. And that was such a, you know, he was obviously really, really upset. But, I mean, it was good because what he did was not great. But that was such a beautiful picture of how they see authority, how they treat authority. You know, they don't speak against authority. They don't think less of authority. No matter how kind of bad a headmaster is, you will see that the children will always look up to a headmaster. They will always follow what the headmaster says. And they've always got that reverence for a headmaster. Okay, and God is calling us to do the same thing. Let's get the scripture. Romans 13, verse 1 to 2 and then in 7. Again, these are truths. If you look at the scripture and you read what God is saying here, it's quite hectic stuff. Okay, so it says there, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And authorities that exist are appointed by God." Okay, I'm going to read that again. "For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment of themselves. Render therefore all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor." Okay. And God is saying there that if we resist authority, we are actually bringing a judgment on ourselves. Again, that aspect of bringing a curse on ourselves. You know, another thing he says here is that every single authority in your life is appointed by God. Okay, now that goes for good authority, good leaders, as well as bad leaders. Okay, there is no authority in your life that has not been appointed by God, all right, and put in your life by God. Okay, and sometimes us as Christians, we don't understand this topic, all right. We kind of fight against, if something's unfair and there's a authority in our life, a leader in our life who's doing something that we feel is unfair, we resist that. Okay, we often fight against that authority. We speak against that authority. And there's a good example in the Old Testament of when Miriam and Aaron, Miriam and Aaron were kind of Moses' understudies. They were his helpers. All right. And what happens at a stage is Miriam and Aaron start thinking, Moses had an Ethiopian wife. He was obviously an Israelite. So they didn't like this fact. And they thought, well, you know, God also speaks to us. So why do we kind of have to listen to Moses? You know, and the thing, if you look in at that whole section is in Numbers 12. If you look at that, all that they did was speak against authority. They didn't take any action. All they did was speak against that authority. And what happens is God comes down. He's angry. All right? And he judges them. And Miriam comes out with leprosy, and you know, in the end, she repents of it and that type of thing. But what struck me about that scripture, or that part, that passage, is that Miriam and Aaron, all that they did was speak against the authority. Okay? They didn't like resist them in actions. It was what they said. And that was quite an eye-opener to me. You know, how many times do we speak against the authority in our lives? Okay, now that goes for our president, our government. How often do we speak against our government? You know? God says in the Word, it shows that the government that's appointed in a country is based on the people's righteousness. You know? So the people get the government that they deserve. Right? The president that they deserve. How often do we speak against the government? How often do we speak against those of us who work, against our boss? Okay? Or our lecturers? Or, you know, those type of things. And that is a very scary thing, because God says that we actually bring judgment on ourselves if we do that. Even just speaking against someone in authority. You know, and it goes for in marriage as well. You know, a woman, a wife should submit under a man, okay, or the husband, okay. But this is another topic in terms of marriage, that guys love to, the husbands love to say, well, you've got to submit, you know. But then they never submit under the authority that God has placed them under. You know, their boss, they love to speak against their boss. And that's obviously being hypocritical. Okay, so all of us have authority that God has placed in us, or under, we've been placed under. We need to respect and honor those who are above us. Okay, hold them in reverence. All right, that's my time. Okay, next thing. I'm starting to come to the end. What I love about a child is they've got such soft hearts. Okay, there's nothing hard about a child. All right, they are so moldable, malleable, whatever you would call it. It's very easy to be able to mold a child and to kind of take a child in a certain direction because of their fact that their hearts are soft. Now, the devil often uses this as well, this point as well, to take children and people off the path. But this is a very important aspect that we need to, as we relate towards God, we need to be able to have this aspect of ours, of ourselves, when God speaks to us. Okay, are we soft? Are our hearts soft towards God? Okay, have we got hard hearts? All right, do we resist what God is saying? You know, if you've got clay, I don't know if any of you have tried to mold hard clay, but it's almost impossible. Okay, what happens in the end is it breaks into little pieces. Yeah, but soft clay is very easy. It's very easy to mold into whatever you want it to be. And that's the same. That's how we should act towards God. We need to have soft hearts. In Matthew 13, verse 15, Jesus is quoting Isaiah here. And he says, he's speaking about the people of those times. He's saying, "Hearing you will hear and shall not understand. And seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes are closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Lest you should understand with their hearts, so that I should heal them." Okay, so what the scripture is saying is that when our hearts become hard towards God, certain things start happening. Okay, one of them is that you stop hearing God. Okay, you become hard of hearing towards what God is saying to you. All right, you don't hear what He's saying. Another thing is you stop seeing Him. Okay, so you can't hear Him and you can't see Him. Okay, and then another thing is you stop understanding. Okay, suddenly you don't have an understanding of what's going on. All right, you don't have a perception. All right, and this is, if you had to imagine someone who is deaf, blind, and has no understanding. Okay, that type of person, or that person, is obviously makes life a whole lot difficult. All right, more difficult if you are that type of person. Okay, but God has called us to have soft hearts, and when we have soft hearts, God says that we are going to hear Him. Okay, we are going to see Him, and we are going to understand Him. Okay, those three things are very important. And sometimes in our lives, we need to look and we need to go, am I hearing properly? You know, am I seeing Him? Am I understanding Him at the moment? And if not, we need to look and we need to ask ourselves, are our hearts hard towards Him, to what He says? Okay. Now, something as well that is linked to that is obviously humility. All right. And, you know, in my dealings with children, I've never seen a proud kid, ever. Okay. They've got an understanding and a concept that, you know, and that who they are is nothing because of what they've done. You know, I see, you know, coaching rugby and cricket, you get some brilliant sportsmen, sports guys that are, they're young, but they're really good, or really, really clever kids. You know, none of those kids are ever proud about their achievements, you know, in terms of I'm so cool type of pride, you know. And that's always amazing for me. You know, they can be brilliant in certain areas, but they are never proud about that. And somehow they've got this concept that who they are and what they can do is nothing according to their own abilities. Right? They know that what they are and their things that they're good at are not because of them. Okay. James 4 verse 6 says, "But he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes or resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Okay. And this is an aspect, obviously, that we need to understand as Christians. Okay. And sometimes we start losing this a bit. We become proud. We think that what we have achieved in our lives is because of our own effort. Right. And God is convicting me all the time that you know, who I am and what I've done is only because of His grace. Okay. Without Him, I am nothing. Okay. There's nothing in me that is good. All right. And everything that is good in me is because of the Lord. You know, and we need to go and walk our lives in that attitude. You know, that who we are is not, our goodness is not based on us, it's based on God. You know, and when we grasp that, God says that He gives us grace. Okay, and He says that if you are proud, it says this in that scripture that God actually resists you. He's actually standing there and He's doing this to you. As you're trying to walk, He's resisting you. And that's also a hectic thing. You know, if you are frustrated in life and the stuff doesn't seem to happen, look at your life and see, maybe am I proud? Okay. Sometimes it's other reasons, but sometimes it could have been because of pride. Okay. A.W. Tozer, who was a preacher in America, said, "The meek man is not a human mouse afflicted with a sense of his own inferiority. He has accepted God's estimate of his own life. In himself, nothing. In God, everything. He knows that the world will never see him as God sees him, and he stopped caring." Okay, so humility is not, C.S. Lewis says, humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Okay, we are not inferior. Okay, humility is not inferiority. Now, a lot of people get this aspect mixed up. They think they see someone who's actually feeling inferior, fearful, and that type of thing, and they think that is humility. That is not humility. Okay, humility is seeing who we are in the Lord and being able to act out of that place. Okay. Another little test that sometimes you can look at is humility says, "Your will be done." Pride says, "Okay, have it your way then." You know? And that can be a difference. You know? Do you say when God says something to you, maybe it could be hard, you say, "Your will be done." Okay, a good example is obviously Jesus. Right? Jesus, in his moment of his weakest moment, you know, he knew he was going to the cross, but he said, "God, if there's any other way, please let it be so." And then he said, "But not my will, but your will be done." You know, and is that our heart's attitude? Right? Or do we kick and scream the whole time? God says to us to do something and we fight against it, and then eventually we give in. You know, after all that effort, then we give in. Or do we have that humble heart? We'll say, "Lord, you know better. You know me better than I know myself. You know what is good for me and what is not. And therefore I say, your will be done. You know, I'll follow you, whatever you say." Okay. We are playing with God when we think that we know better than Him on how to live our lives. Okay. When we kick and scream, we're actually saying to God, "God, I know better what to do with my life than you do. Okay, and therefore I'm going to go my own way because to me that's better." All right, and that is ultimately pride. Okay. Right, so, those are a few aspects. I mean, there are a lot of other things that we can learn from children. I've learned a lot more. But these are aspects that I think are important to us as Christians now. And we really need to grasp this aspect. And, you know, kids can teach us a lot of things. God says that He uses the simple things in life to put to shame the wise. You know, a child's life is simple. You know, I've often thought, yes, I wish I could be a child again. They just seem to have no cares. They're free. They, you know, everything is great for them. You know, and Their lives are simple, and we need to live like that as Christians as well. Sometimes we complicate our lives too much. Right? We think sometimes too much about stuff. But God says we must just go for it. Just do it. Yeah? And there's so much wisdom in a child, actually. And I'm just going to show you another video. I think we've got time. I'm loving my videos again today. But this is a thing I found on YouTube, which is just a really cool little clip. Okay, let's just pray. Okay, Father God, we just thank you, God, for children. We thank you, God, for the truth that we can learn through children, Lord. And we just come and we submit to you, Father God. We say, Lord, that often we miss these aspects, God. We don't come to you like a child, Father God. We don't come to you with our hearts open, Lord God. We come to it closed, Lord. And sometimes it's our hearts have been hardened, Lord, and sometimes it's because of hurts and stuff that's gone wrong in our lives, Lord. And slowly but surely our hearts have hardened towards you, Lord God. We come to you with these hard hearts, Father. And we don't know, Lord, how to soften them, Father. And Lord, we know that only you can soften our hearts, Father God. Only you can take a hard heart and make it soft, Lord God, so that we can be receptive to you. I just want to pray, Lord, and just pray for us, Lord, and pray that you would soften our hearts, Lord God, towards you. Let us run to you like children, Lord God. Let us live our lives like children in just simplicity, Father God, not making it complicated. We thank you for those truths, Lord. Thank you, God, that you are faithful, Lord, and that when we come to you, Father, you hear us, Lord God. You soften our hearts and make it so that you give us the grace, Lord, to humble ourselves, Lord. This is when anybody who maybe has been listening and kind of realizes that maybe their hearts are hard, maybe they're not following God like a child. It's a thing where we can't fix ourselves. You know, if we get to that point, we realize that we're not following God like that. Sometimes we can't fix ourselves, and only God can do it. But God is faithful. It says that when we come to Him, He will do whatever we ask for. And I just want to put up your hand if you realize that you are like that. You've hardened your heart. Harden your heart towards God. You're not living like a child towards Him. You're not receiving it, what He says, and taking it as the truth. Just lift up your hands to the Lord, and we know that only God can do it. And I just pray for these hands, Lord. I pray, God, that, Lord, you would come and soften our hearts, Lord God. And really, Father, show us how to live towards you and how to receive you. And I pray, Lord, that all of these hands, Lord, they would just, Lord, you would bring that childlike faith back into their lives, Lord, and they would run to you as children, Father, and that freedom, Lord, thank you for that freedom that you've given us, Lord, you promised to us, Lord, if we come to you in that humility, Father, we just pray for them, Lord. I pray that you would soften their hearts, Lord, and show them, Lord God, show them what they need to do, Father. I pray for a courage to be obedient to what you say, Lord. We know that often what you say is not the easiest, and sometimes we don't even understand it, Lord. But I pray, Lord, that all of these hands raised, Father, would run to you, Lord, and they would do what you say, God, without questioning it, without trying to think through it, Lord. They would live life to the full, Father. We just commit them to you, Lord. Thank you, God, that, Lord, you honor that decision, Father, and your word, Lord, is that you will complete every good work that you have started. Thank you for that. That you will complete this work. We just commit them all to you, Lord. We commit our lives to you, Father, again. We thank you for your truth, Lord. Thank you that your truth sets us free, Father. It's not with human words, Lord God, but it's your truth. We just thank you for that truth, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.